The reward in this life is the presence of God. The reward in this life is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The reward in this life is the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, the riches we have in Christ. Hey, listen, folks, it doesn't matter how much Bible I know, I don't have any more of the Holy Spirit than a person who just walked off the street and got saved. They have the same amount of Holy Spirit I do. It doesn't matter if it was a drug addict. It doesn't matter if it's a crackhead. It doesn't matter who that person is and how terrible they've been. The moment they get saved, they have the same riches in Christ that I do. Now, churches have a hard time understanding that, because we like to have the seniority game. Like, we've been here 50 years. They just got here. You got to jump through the ropes. Not with God.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Reward by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
How do you feel when someone breaks in line ahead of you? Has that ever happened to anybody here? It happens in grocery stores. It happens on Black Friday after Thanksgiving, where it brings out the worst in people. People jump ahead. They don't care. You've been standing patiently in a line, and some person thinks it's their God-given right to just break the line, and they expect the same benefit that you were waiting on patiently for all this time. And sometimes it happens even on the highways. There's a merge sign 5 miles back. What does that mean, folks? To merge. Because this lane is going to end, go ahead and get over. And you get over because you are a law-abiding citizen who cares about the feelings of others. So you move over, and then what happens? Some fool goes right past you, right? And they keep going. And it's not just them, but 50 others right behind them. Now, I don't know about you, but I am mentally talking to everybody in my lane. Guys, keep formation. Do not let them in. Anybody else feel that way? Do not let them in. What happens when the lane ends? I don't know. Run into the center block, whatever. I don't care. Do not let them in. We got to teach them a lesson in patience. In fairness, in justice, this is not what you do. And then some bleeding heart lets them in. You're thinking, you're messing it up. You're messing it up. They will never, ever learn. We could have all stayed together, and 5 years later, they would still be waiting in that lane to get over, and yet you did not get it. So unfair. As John mentioned just a few moments ago, so also God's grace can sometimes appear unfair by our standards. We expect God to honor our lines of justice and fairness and seniority, but God doesn't do that. He has His own lines of goodness and mercy and grace, and just when we think, get Him in the back of the line, God says, no, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. Just when we think we are next in line for His rewards, God says, there's nothing else for you. This morning, we are back in our series on the parables of Jesus, and we come to a famous parable, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And the message is called Reward. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. And let's once again stand for the reading of God's Word. It's a long parable, but let's read it together. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. He went at the first hour of the day. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, the day is about to end, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages. Now listen to this. Beginning with the last to the first. Something's wrong with the order. The last to the first. And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius, what he had promised the first hour people. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Let those words sink into your mind. Is your eye evil because I am good to them? And then verse 16, so the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. As you know, parables are like mirrors. When you read them, you have to ask the question, who are you in the parable? So who are you? Which laborer are you? Are you the ones who came first, or are you the ones who came last? And if you came last, if you came at the 11th hour, are you working for God with everything you have? It blows my mind when people get saved later in life, and yet they come and they slouch and they recline and they take it easy. I don't get it. You don't know how much time you have left. Why are you just slouching? Why are you just taking it easy? You may have only 1 hour left. Give it all you have. Oh, I came early. I grew up in a Christian home. I got saved early. Then the question to you is, are you still working with the same passion for Jesus Christ? Or are you more concerned about what they're getting? Oh, Pastor Shaw, ever since the church has grown, I feel like he is not as accessible. I haven't talked to him in a while. Folks, let me ask you a question. Because Pastor Shaw is giving care and discipleship to new people who are coming in, to new people who are getting saved. Is your eye evil? And what is accessibility? The accessibility is that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't need Pastor Shaw for that. And guess what? You should be doing the same thing I'm doing. Stepping out of your comfort zone and going out there and reaching people with the gospel. When you see someone you don't recognize, go and talk to them. Don't say, he didn't come talk to me like he used to. Is your eye evil because I'm good? And are you still standing idle in the marketplace because God is calling? The landowner is calling. He's walking through these aisles right now, calling you to come, go work in the vineyard. What he's telling you is to get saved. If you've never done that, answer the call today. And this is how you do it. Bow your heads. It's a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I hear you calling. I know I'm lost. I've been fooling people. I've been fooling myself. But I haven't answered your call. And today I say yes. And saying yes means this. I'm saying yes that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And that he rose again on the third day. and I need him to be my Savior, and I need him to be my King. The parable we just read is called one of the the hardest parables, one of three of the most hardest parables of Jesus. The reason it's difficult is because it is hard to identify whom Jesus meant when he said the first or the last. Who are these people? What is their identity? Are they the Pharisees and the scribes, the first? They were the first, but then the tax collectors and the prostitutes were the last? Is that what's being said? Or were the last the disciples? The first were the Pharisees and the scribes. They came in, and then later the disciples came. Who are these people that Jesus is talking about? In my opinion, we have to begin in verse 15 or 16 of chapter 19 to understand the true context of this parable. You see, in this passage, we meet the rich young ruler. You remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he asked him that question, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And what did Jesus say to them? To him, he said, "Go keep the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery." And in a very self-assured way, he replied, "I've already done that since I was a kid. What's next?" And then Jesus said to him in verse 21, listen to this, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." What in the world is Jesus saying? I mean, this is not what it takes to be saved. I mean, where do we find this in the Bible other than this place? When Nicodemus, another rich man, came to Jesus, Jesus did not say, "Hey, go sell what you have, give to the poor, you're going to have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." He never said that to Zacchaeus, who was also a rich man. Why in the world did Jesus say this? And by the way, Jesus actually said the opposite. When that woman came and she wept at Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and then she took that expensive bottle of perfume, that alabaster flask, and she took it and broke it and anointed his feet, and the disciples were complaining. And the people were saying, "You know, we could have sold that perfume and fed a lot of poor people." And what did Jesus say? "Leave her alone. Let her do what she is doing because she has done it for my sake." Right? I mean, he said just the opposite. He did not say, "Oh yeah, great, that's a great idea." To the contrary, he allowed her to do it and he even defended her. So why in the world did Jesus tell this young man who came to him and said, "What shall I do to have eternal life?" Why did he tell him to sell all he had to give to the poor and follow him? Very simple. Because he was possessed by his possessions. What's happening here with this rich young ruler is that he is possessed by his riches. So what does he do? The Bible tells us he walked away sorrowful. Now don't forget, coming to Jesus does not mean that you have to give up everything. Listen again. Coming to Jesus does not mean you have to give up everything. It simply means that now Jesus is everything. Does that make sense? Coming to Jesus does not mean you sell all you have and join a commune. It simply means that now he owns it all. And that is a very hard thing to do if riches possess you. So what did Jesus say? Listen to verse 23. "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I mean, how true that is. Again, it doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account. But if you are gripped by riches, maybe that's how you were raised. Your dad always told you, or your mom always told you, son, go to the best schools, get the best education, and start making money. Be an entrepreneur. Do whatever you can. Work your tail off. First you pay, and then you play. And you grew up with that mentality. It's all about money. The problem is, it's half truth and half lies. Yes, money is important. But if money begins to possess you, it is very hard for that kind of a person to get saved. So what did the disciples say? Listen to this. Their question here is, verse 25, who then can be saved? Wow. How can someone come to you if they are possessed by money? Listen to what Jesus says in verse 26. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't matter who that person is, and maybe you are here this morning. Money is your God. Hey, listen, if you turn to Jesus Christ, He can put riches in the right perspective. He can do that for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much you hang on to your money. He can put things in the right perspective. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can help you. He's not here to take your money. He's here to give you eternal life. So now, something happens. When this encounter takes place between the rich young ruler and Jesus, Peter, in his characteristic manner, takes this opportunity to gain some points. Listen to what he says in verse 27. He says, Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Unlike that rich young man who was possessed by his riches, we gave up our fishing nets, we gave up our fishing business, and we followed you. What is our reward? And how did Jesus answer him? Listen to verse 28. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. I can almost imagine the disciples saying, boys, payday is coming. We gave up in this life, but on the other side, we are going to be the leaders. We are going to be the rulers. Wow, it paid off. And then listen to Jesus saying in verse 29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. You can almost see that smile on the disciples' faces. It's going to pay off one day. We're going to rule the world. We gave up now, and one day we're going to get it all back. In fact, we're going to get back hundredfold. Jesus, being God, knew what they were thinking. The very next verse, what did Jesus say? Listen to verse 30. But many who are first will be last. And the last, first. You can imagine the disciples saying, wait, what was that again? Did I hear that correctly? Say that one more time. Yep. Many who are first will be last, and the last, first. Whoa, that doesn't sound right. Isn't it first we give, and then we get? And those who give first get first? Jesus knew that even though this group right here had given up their earthly possessions, they had given up their earthly possessions, they were still operating by earthly principles. You know, that's the principle of life. First you invest, and then you get the profit. But the disciples were thinking, we're the first in line to invest. We should get the most profit. Jesus said, not really. And to counter that, he gave the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Now think again about the parable. The landowner goes out early in the morning to get laborers in the vineyard. Those who came first were probably the disciples, Peter and John, Andrew and James, and the rest of them. They were the first group to come. But that's not enough. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers to go into the harvest. He goes back out at the third hour and gets more. It's still not enough. He goes back out at the sixth hour and the ninth hour and the 11th hour. More and more laborers are needed. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? 5,000 were brought in. Throughout the history of the church, what has happened? More and more laborers have been called in. But you see, all that is no problem. We need more laborers. The problem comes when it's time to pay the wages. What happens then? First, the order gets reversed. The 11th hour people are the first ones to get paid. Second, the 11th hour people gets the same amount that the first hour people were promised. And the first hour people don't get any extra reward for coming first. What in the world? I mean, the disciples had their heads chopped off. Peter was crucified upside down. They're not going to get more than us? Something is not right. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. The reward that Jesus is talking about is not the rewards in heaven. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:8? Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So in this life, when you are faithfully serving God, listen, on the other side, God will reward you accordingly, appropriately. So what is the reward that Jesus is talking about in this parable? The reward in this life is what he's referring to. The reward in this life is the presence of God. The reward in this life is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The reward in this life is the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, the riches we have in Christ. Hey, listen, folks, it doesn't matter how much Bible I know. I don't have any more of the Holy Spirit than a person who just walked off the street and got saved. Now, churches have a hard time understanding that because we like to have the seniority game. Like, we've been here 50 years, and they just got here. So you got to jump through the ropes. Not with God. The first actually has to go last. And whatever was promised to the first is now given to the last, and the first is not given any bonus. Again, don't forget, we're not talking about rewards in heaven. We're talking about rewards in this life. We like to show off our Bible knowledge. We like to show off our spirituality. We like to show off our understanding of the deep things of God. But God says, that's good, but you are still on the same level as that person who just got saved. That's why at Clearview, we don't have levels of membership. There is no second tier and third tier. This is it. Sometimes people come and they ask about the inner circle. Where is the inner circle? I was like, there is no inner circle. Where are the elders? Do you have elders? I'm like, no, we don't have elders. Oh, don't you think you need to have elders who guide the spiritual direction? I was like, yeah, one elder becomes a devil and they get the devil in the church. We don't need no elders. So how do you do things? I said, we have a wonderful staff that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, is educated, and they give their very best. We have accountability financially. We have accountability with the trustee board. We have all those. Oh, how do you get on the finance committee? Since you asked, we're not going to tell you. Are y'all getting this, folks? There is no level of spirituality. When you come to Clearview now, here's where the dumb new Christians sit. And here are the ones who are maturing. And there you have Pastor Shaw hanging out with just a select few. There is none. You get closer and closer to me, you find this empty. What am I trying to say to you? I'm telling you the same thing that the disciples were struggling with. Oh, we get to sit on the top. We get to judge everybody. No, actually, to get to the back of the line. The more Bible knowledge you have, hey, listen, the more you have walked with Jesus, the more humble you should be, not the first in line. Now, don't misunderstand. If a person just got saved, I'm not going to tell them to come teach the Bible. They're not ready for that. You say, well, wait a minute. What does Paul say in 1 Timothy 3:6? He says, don't let someone like that be an overseer, because that person is a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So yes, when it comes to teaching the Bible, preaching the truth, there needs to be maturity, there needs to be some time. Having said that, we don't have levels of membership. Hey, listen, a new believer has the same value as an old believer. And the reason many churches are struggling, please listen. The reason many churches are struggling is because a new believer walks in and they can immediately sense the pride, the spirit of condescension. I've seen that. You know a few facts in the Bible. You know the names of a few kings. You know some Bible verses. And the way you talk, you're talking down to some young believer. And we like to say, oh, that's so dumb. Let me explain to you about the Bible. Hey, folks, if that is the spirit with which you talk, you need to read this parable again. The first shall be last. There should be more humility if you have been walking with God. The question is, how do you see other believers who are less mature than you? How do you treat people who do not know the Bible as well as you do? How do you treat those who are struggling in their spiritual walk? I know some people, young people, older people, who are still struggling. There are issues in their life, old habits. How do you treat them? Treat them with the same level of dignity that you would treat a mature Christian. Because they have the same Holy Spirit inside of them. They have the same riches in Christ. They have the same Jesus as their Savior. What was their reaction? Listen to the parable, chapter 20, verse 12. These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. I can't believe Pastor Shaw doesn't listen to us. We've been there all these years. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or listen to this, is your eye evil because I am good? Hey, listen, just because some believer who just got here is doing some ministry, are you envious? Are you looking over their shoulder and saying, why do they get all the attention? What makes them so special? Same problems even today. Then Jesus made the same statement that he made in Matthew 19:30. He said, so the last will be first, and the first last. Question this morning for us is, have you heard the call? Is God speaking to you?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Sometimes God's grace doesn't make sense to us. We expect Him to operate by our line of justice. Really, like the workers who were hired in the 11th hour, we should simply be grateful that the Master has called us at all. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.